So we're in the book of Mark at the moment. We're doing a preaching series called Knowing Jesus. And I think it's really important to just emphasize again, this is not about knowing about Jesus. This is about us personally knowing Jesus. And I want us to see everything that we do today through that lens of what it is to know Jesus for ourselves. So if you have your Bible with you, flip it open, find the book of Mark. We're going to be touching on the end of chapter 4 and into chapter 5. But before we read any scripture today, I just want to remind us of some of the stuff that Dorothy preached on last week. So Dorothy last week spoke out of the end of Mark chapter 4 about Jesus calming the storm. Now, a big part of that was the authority that Jesus had in that moment. That's a massive part of what we're going to be looking at today, the authority of Jesus. Jesus has authority over all things. Nudge the person next to you, make sure they're awake, and just say, Jesus has authority over all things. Amen. Now, tell someone else, because this is quite important. Tell someone else who you haven't just told. Jesus has authority over all things. Very good. So last week when we were looking at Jesus calming the storm in a very physical and natural environment, and what Dorothy did very well was explain how Jesus was fully man and fully God, that he is, we looked at his humanity and his divinity, and we're going to continue that theme of his authority as we go from looking at his authority over storms in the physical realm to storms in the spiritual realm. That's where we're going this morning. We're going to make that transition, and we're going to think about storms. But before we move on again, just as Dorothy was speaking last week, and she was talking about storms, I was just thinking in my mind's eye, because only a couple of weeks earlier, we had been in a physical storm, and that was just very much in my mind. And I just want you to think about what it is being in a physical, natural storm. So we were on holiday recently. We were blessed enough. We were in Lake Garda, huge lake surrounded by massive mountains. And we were told there's a big thunderstorm coming. So the morning was all clear, beautiful, lovely. And we were staying in this Eurocamp, like static caravan, and had a decking in front of us up the side of a hill. And as the day went on, you could feel the wind picking up. You think, okay, yeah, there's a storm coming. And you can feel the wind, the strength of the wind picking up. And over the next few hours, you can see, as you're looking over the lake, beautiful scenery, and these waves start growing over the lake. And those waves start getting white tops, and it looks like you're looking at the sea. And I have to remind myself, wow, this is a lake. It's a massive lake, but it looked just like the sea. You know, the waves are really picking up. And then all the boats have vanished off of the lake now. And the only boats you can see are moored around the edge, and they are really swaying. So as Dorothy's describing this storm on the Sea of Galilee, this is totally in my mind. And then as the storm picked up, what happened then was you could really feel the force of the wind. You thought, I think I'm going to go indoors now. This feels like a good move. And then the garden furniture starts moving and it's just pushed across the decking. And then the decking itself starts shuddering, and the uprights, like, they start properly swaying. And the decking was kind of, this thing is going to lift up. I was standing out there thinking, not really sure what we're going to do right now, because that decking looks like it's about to rip up and be carried away. And the actual static caravan we're in is creaking and groaning. And I just, as Dorothy was talking about storms last week, this just was in my mind so much. And what is it about storms that are scary? I just think it's that lack of control. You have no control when you're in the middle of a storm like that. For all of us, we've all been in physical, natural storms like the one I'm describing. And I want you to think on that. The lack of control we have when we're in a storm is scary. And it's the same when we're in a spiritual storm. The lack of control that we can be sensing can really lead to fear and anxiety. So as we're going to talk about that stuff, let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have authority over everything. Jesus, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thank you, you have authority over every spiritual storm. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray today that today will be a day where storms are calmed, where lightness grows and darkness is pushed back. We trust you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at Mark 5, 1 to 20. I'm going to break it into three parts for us. And the first part, we're looking at verses 1 to 5. And in that, we were looking at the impact of the demonic. And before we get into that, just to want us to say, we don't need to be scared when we read this stuff. We don't need to be sitting here in fear when we talk about the demonic. Why? Because Jesus has all authority. Amen? We don't need to fear the demonic because Jesus has all authority, but it's good for us to be aware of the impact of the demonic on people's lives. So that's what we're going to look at. Okay, Mark 5, 1 to 5. They went across the lake to the region of the Gennesaretans. Can't really say that, never mind. Jesus got out of the boat. A man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained, hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This is a really quite dramatic description of the impact of the demonic on this guy's life. This guy is in a huge spiritual storm. And as with a natural storm, this must have been quite scary for him and for anyone who came into contact with him. There would have been a sense of a complete lack of control and a fear of what was going to happen. It is quite an amazing account, really. Although it's fairly short, it's quite unique in the New Testament, seeing this level of detail of the impact of the demonic on the guy's life. Normally what we see is Jesus casts out the demon, or the apostles cast out the demon, and they go. We don't often hear about what impact the demons had on the guy's life, but we see that here, and so it's worth us looking and considering what is the impact of the demonic. The impact of the demonic we see here, there's a number of things, but the things I really want to zone in on are torment, harm, and isolation. These are like signature moves of the demonic. I was reminded of John 10:10 when I was looking into this, and just what Jesus tells us about the devil and what he wants to do. This is Jesus speaking in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So this is, in John 10:10, we see what the devil, what the big plan is, kill, steal, destroy. And here in Mark 5, what we're seeing is some of the outworking of that, some of how he's going about doing that, how he's killing, stealing, and destroying through torment, through harm, and through isolation. That's some of the outworking of that. And sometimes the level of torment that people can experience can lead them to harm themselves. And this is very, very real. We need to be very serious about this. We need to be very sensitive about this. This is a subject that is very important to talk about, though, because it's very relevant in our society. The amount of people struggling with mental torment that leads to them harming themselves. It's very difficult, complex, very sad, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it. We absolutely should talk about it, because there is an account right here in the scripture of a guy harming himself because of mental torment caused by the demonic. And so as I say these things, what I want to do is to try to be really sensitive about this, because the chances are that probably every single one of us in this room will probably know someone who has struggled with mental torment or even harming themselves, and there is likely to be people in this room who have either in that situation now or have been in that situation in the past. It's good to talk about, but we have to do it with love and compassion and sensitivity. And so what I'm not saying, let me be really clear, I am not saying that anyone and everyone who has mental torment and harms themselves has been directly influenced by a demon. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, and hopefully with love and sensitivity, is that we need to be open to the prospect that when those things are happening, we need to be open to the prospect that they could have been caused by demons. I hope you're with me and you hear what I'm saying. People harm themselves for a range of reasons, and it is complex. When I had a look at a bit more research on why do people harm themselves, this is one of the internet headlines that I found. And just to say as well, I'll come on to that in a bit, but just to say that looking at things like the Samaritans is a really helpful resource. If this is something that you struggle with or you know someone is struggling with it, the Samaritans have a great website. They obviously have a 24/7 helpline that you can call, you can signpost people to. It's a really great resource. But here's a headline on why people harm themselves. People self-harm primarily as an unhealthy coping mechanism. to manage or express overwhelming emotional distress, physical or sexual abuse, trauma, or mental health struggles like depression. For many, it serves as a way of to convert invisible inner pain into physical pain, temporary relief tension, or regain a sense of control. There's a lot there, but overwhelming sense of emotional distress, needing to gain control. And as I say, people harm themselves for different reasons. We're not saying that everyone who harms has been directly influenced by a demon. But what I do want to be clear on is when people do harm, for whatever reason, I think I'm on safe ground to say that the devil enjoys it. Whether he's directly caused it or not, he's quite happy in that situation. Why do I say that? I say that because we know demons can't hurt God. But what they can do is they take delight in defacing us because we're made in God's image. And so as a side note, this is a very good reason not to watch horror movies. Because what does a horror movie do? It glorifies people being harmed in a graphic way. Why would we fill our minds with something that a demon delights in? Don't do it. Why would we want to do that to ourselves? Why would we want to fill our brains with that stuff? That was just a side note. But just to say, if you are struggling with this issue, if this is a very real life right now issue for you, I just really want to encourage you to have the courage to speak to someone about it. There's lots of help that can be got. I've already mentioned about the Samaritans. We have a great pastoral team here. I'd love to chat to people about that if they're struggling with it. But again, it's to say, speak to someone that you trust in the church who will do a great job of listening. Because when people are in distress, what they don't need is judgment and do this, and a list of things to do. What they need is someone to listen, to be loving, and to be full of the Holy Spirit, and to offer to pray at the right time. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with this, be open to receiving prayer and let the Holy Spirit lead that. The Holy Spirit is so gentle. Let's pursue the Spirit who brings peace and get rid of things that cause torment. So I know that is a sensitive subject, but I think it's important that we talk about these things because it is so real and so prevalent for us. And it's right here in the scripture. And just to say for people, if they are really struggling, the Samaritan's helpline, you can grab it online, but it's a really easy one, 116-123. 116-123. If you are at a point of desperation in the middle of the night, that is a good line to call. Another impact of the demonic on this man is isolation. See, the demons have driven him out into dark places. Notice where he is. He's in the tombs. He's in a place of death. He's in a place of darkness. Again, we come back to our horror movies thing. Where do we fear? You know, if we're feeling isolated and alone, what are some of the dark places we can be taken to in our mind? Or physically, where do we take ourselves? What places do we put ourselves in? Isolation is a signature move of the devil. He loves to isolate us. He can really get tormenting and lies getting into our head when we're isolated. We're made to be in family community. We're made to be together. We all have different giftings and abilities. You know, the eye doesn't say to the ear, I don't need you. We need each other. And a signature move of the demonic is to get people isolated, get them alone, and that's where the devil can really get mentally tormenting them. And again, as I would say, whether the devil has directly caused the isolation or not, it would be something that he would rejoice in. And I think we need to be very real. The devil is very real. We don't need to fear him. Why? Because Jesus has all authority. But we need to be aware of his signature moves. And here are some of his signature moves right here. As I said earlier, John 10:10 says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But praise God, the verse doesn't end there. It says, Jesus goes on, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Praise you, Jesus. That is why Jesus came, that we would have life and have it to the full, to destroy the works of the enemy and his oppression over our lives. So how does that work? Let's go back to our passage in Mark 5, picking up in verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. We see Jesus' authority over the whole spiritual realm and every spiritual storm. This is the most important thing I will say today. Jesus has all authority over everything. Nudge the person next to you, tell them, Jesus has all authority over everything. Tell someone else, because we need to declare this, because it's truth. Jesus has all authority over everything. It's good. It's good for us to declare this. It's good for us to declare truth that Jesus has all authority. So the demonized man who approaches Jesus has a violent history. This guy can break chains. No one can subdue him. He rushes at Jesus not to fall on him in attack, but to fall on his knees in submission. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? This guy who no one could subdue and could break chains rushes at Jesus. I would imagine the bystanders were about to think, what is happening here? He's about to attack Jesus. There is no way he can, because the demons don't have the power to do that. The demons have to submit to the authority of Jesus, the Son of the Most High. No one can subdue this guy by force, but the demons submit to Jesus' authority immediately. The way we deal with demons is first for us to submit our lives to Jesus. That is the first step in us dealing with the demonic. James 4:7 says this, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Such an important verse. It's in two really clear parts. First is we submit to God. We say, "Jesus is my Lord." Make it very personal. Jesus is my Lord. On that authority, devil, you have to flee. You have to flee. There's no discussion. There's no argument. The battle is won. The authority is gained. Devil, you have to go. I love it in 1 Corinthians 12:3. It says this, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So even you saying Jesus is my Lord, that is an act of the Holy Spirit in your life. Declaring Jesus is my Lord is a great thing to do. You want more of the Spirit in your life? That's a great starting point. Say, "Jesus is my Lord." Say it. Let's say it together. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. This is a great... You know, you wake up in the middle of the night, you're having a bad dream, you're feeling a bit, oh, what's going on? Say it out loud. Jesus is my Lord. You know, that we need to do these things out loud. We need to declare the truth out loud of who Jesus is and the power in the name of Jesus. So we submit to Jesus verbally. That's one thing. That's a good thing. That is the starting point. How do our lives reflect that? How are you living your life as a disciple of Jesus, submitted to him? His way, not my way. There's an amazing piece of scripture. In fact, let's read it. Can just chuck my Bible. Ephesians 4. Turn to Ephesians 4 with me. And we're going to pick up in verse 22. I need some reading glasses. Gets to that time of, and I just need to accept it and get the reading glasses. Okay, Ephesians 4:22. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, to make new the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak the truth fully to his neighbor." Are we speaking the truth fully? "For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. What are you doing when you get angry? Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. This is the central thing on this passage that I want us to concentrate on. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must no longer steal. Are we stealing? We need to stop it. But must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? But only what is helpful for building up others. I want to encourage you this week. Spend time reading this passage. Ephesians 4, 22 to 32. And ask yourself the question, am I giving the devil a foothold in my life? Am I fully submitting to Jesus in every part of my life? Is Jesus the Lord of my whole life? And if we can say, you know, Jesus, you are the Lord of my whole life, I'm submitting everything to you, when we then come to the bit of saying, okay, Satan, go in the name of Jesus, he has to go. We need to be fully submitted. I believe that there is much greater levels of freedom for each of us to be had today. I believe that there are spiritual storms that can be calmed in all of our lives. But maybe the step that we need to be taking is asking that question, where am I not submitted fully to Jesus? And what do I need to do about that? We don't just abdicate all of responsibilities. Okay, Jesus, just deal with this. Yes, he has authority and he can deal with it. But if we are holding a grudge or telling lies, are we going to expect to experience the peace of God in our lives? I would suggest you shouldn't expect that. If you're doing some of the things that it tells you not to do, I would suggest that you're probably not going to experience the fullness of God in your life if you're deliberately doing stuff that is giving the devil a foothold. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, what do I need to do then? Are you with me on this? Is this making sense? We are saved by grace. It's not about works. But if we're following Jesus with everything, we've got to be asking that question, where do I need to submit my life more to Jesus? Submission equals freedom. So when we're submitting to Jesus and we have that authority and demons have to go and we get stories of breakthrough and peace, what do we do then? Back to the passage. Mark 5:14. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and the people were amazed. That is incredible. There is so much in that account. I want to remind us and go back to what Dorothy said last week. Right at the start of what she said, in Mark 4:35, what she said is, what Jesus says, he's getting in the boat and he says, come on, we're going to go to the other side. So before the whole storm on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee thing, Jesus said, we're going on the other side. There was purpose to what Jesus was doing. He wasn't doing anything by accident. And then we have this storm, which I think is a foreshadowing of the spiritual storm. And then they land in this place, which is clearly a non-Jewish place. We definitely know it's a non-Jewish place because they're herding pigs. There's 2,000 pigs there. Why would we need pig farmers in Jewish places? Because they didn't eat pigs. They were disgustingly unclean. This just points so much to the fact that Jesus has deliberately gone across to a non-Jewish place and he is extending the gospel outside of what would have been expected of him to everyone. And by one incident of Jesus' power and authority breaking out, a whole region is influenced and a whole region hears the name of Jesus. And it's not really surprising that these guys were scared and were saying, just please go. But they're scared by the power and authority of Jesus. They don't have any reference point for it. These are non-Jewish people. They wouldn't have had the benefit of knowing the scriptures and looking at all of that. This was all just terrifying. This would have all just been very scary. So they've seen this guy who, yes, he was scary, but then you had someone else who has more authority. That was scary. And we see when the disciples were in the boat, Jesus calmed the storm. They're scared. People are sometimes scared when they see outbreaks of the power of Jesus in their life. They can't have a reference point for it. What's going on? I don't understand. How has this happened? This level of power and authority is scary. Jesus has a scary level of power and authority, and it needs to be completely respected. But in one demonstration of his authority, it broke open a whole region. And I think when we're praying for breakthrough, when we're praying for miracles, I want to really encourage us to pray bigger than just for the miracle. I want us to encourage us to pray, Lord, give us this healing, give us this breakthrough, give us this miracle, and let that miracle just break open a whole people group for your name. I'm reminded of, many of us would have heard Sam's amazing story. And Sam had a miracle in his life. As a result of that miracle, whole family came to faith. Same thing. Outbreak of Jesus' power, whole families come to faith, whole areas, whole people groups. When we're praying for miracles today, and we will be praying for miracles today, we're praying for the miracles, for a breakout of God's power and his name be lifted high in whole people groups, whole families, whole workplaces. Let's expand what we're praying for and our expectation of what we're praying for. Because we see that consistently in the New Testament. Where there's these amazing miracles, what happens is a whole area is broken open for the gospel. There's more stuff happening. The miracles are amazing, but there's more that happens. So let's pray for the miracles with expectation. Whole things are going to be broken open. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love the response of the guy, though, as well. And he comes up to Jesus and he begs him. He wants to go with Jesus. And what a beautiful moment this is. His life, he knows how much Jesus has changed his life. He can see it. The cuts are still fresh on him. He can see what's happened to him. He knows the level of freedom and deliverance he's had. And his response is, I have to be with you, Jesus. I need to be with you. Take me with you. That's the response of somebody who has encountered Jesus and knows the change that Jesus has made in their life. And this is where it comes back to. This is where we have people who know Jesus, not just know about Jesus. So I want to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus? Or have you just heard about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know his deliverance? Do you know his provision? Do you know his power in your life? Do you know his grace? Do you know his love? Do you know his acceptance? Do you know Jesus? And what does that drive you, motivate you to do? Does it drive you to want to just be with him more and more? I just really want to encourage us on this journey of knowing Jesus for ourselves, that we remind ourselves constantly, what's Jesus done for me? How has he changed my life? How am I freer, better? How am I enjoying life? So, how am I living life to the full, as Jesus said? Let's just chase after Jesus to be with him. And of course, Jesus sends him back to his people. And you can imagine the power that that guy's story had when people had seen the change in him. You know, when you talk to people who've had radical encounters of Jesus and their lives change round, they have their story, the people that they can talk to and the level that they can talk to people, it's incredible. And for this guy, a whole region are amazed by the wonders of God. Are we sharing our stories of breakthrough with people? Do we know Jesus as deliverer? Do we want to know him as deliverer? Do you have spiritual storms that need calming? Do you see things going on in your life or around you that are stormy and out of control? And things where you just need to see the authority of Jesus breaking in your life or in the life of those around you. By the power of the name of Jesus, bring your peace, I pray. Amen.